his program On the Pace on Tuesday, and then Greg will actually be hosting Pacing Rewind for the duration of the carnival. He'll be located and based in Melbourne over the coming 3 weeks, so Greg in prime position, so to speak, to be able to deliver all the Inter-Dominion news via Victoria. So I'll be taking a few weeks off after today's show, so I'm so in the capable hands of Gregory Hayes, commencing on Tuesday with his On the Pace show with a full rundown of ID 18.
Righto, Fred. How was Tabcorp Park Menangle last night? It was a pretty solid card.
It was. We kicked the night off with McAlert winning. Now an 11-year-old trained by Ian Gurney. Ian visiting a large number of Queensland trainers are at the moment, but Ian celebrated a birthday yesterday, so it was a pretty fair way to celebrate your birthday with a win at headquarters. This horse, McAlert, as I said, now 11. He's participated in Miracle Miles. He finished fifth, only beaten a length behind Baby Bling in Baby Bling's Miracle Mile, and did qualify for an Inter-Dominion Grand Final and was absolutely poleaxed at a crucial stage and finished down the track. But he's been a very good horse, and he was able to win the first. Smoky Quartz went back-to-back, won last Tuesday at Menangle, and this winner of 21 races put in a career-best 151.7, and it was a two-state treble for Kerri-Ann Turner, winning two races at Albion Park as part of their big night, but Smoky Quartz flew the flag at home. Sapphire Swayze continued the good run for Sanderson and Hart, winning the third. A very underrated little horse, I Am Boogie, 11-year-old now, has been a real mainstay for Dean Sinovskis, has had 99 runs for 15 wins and 30 minors, but just continues to put in and week out, and did a good job to lead all the way. Royal Gamble continued the amazing domination of these country series finals that are run at the end of each month at Menangle. Of course, horses qualified a variety of tracks around the state, and Royal Gamble, trained by Mark Callaghan, look, he's won an absolute truckload of these, and just a real dominant force, and it was the first of a double for Todd McCarthy. We'll skip the main race for the minute and go to a terrific race, the 8. There was a dead heat. I'm the Director and Major's Blue Jean. They split it lock together, and Simon, it was one of those occasions. I'm calling the race live. I had no real clue, no real opinion. Thought it was close to a dead heat. Wonked for a dead heat, and the judge confirmed the result, a dead heat. So we got that one right. Just a shark, another horse I should mention, a five-time winner, Brad Elder, driving for his sister Mel. They were able to combine. Very nice little four-year-old, a shark, a real little racehorse, like, no, real professional type, does everything right in his races, and a shark was able to win a race at headquarters last night. And Mordan Destroyer, arguably Sydney's best trotter, was able to win a race again at headquarters last night, winning the final race. The feature race was named after one of the living legends of harness racing in New South Wales and Australia, of course, and I refer to Tony Turnbull. The Tony Turnbull free-for-all at Group 3, and Major Dan was sent out a long odds on favourite.
The home turn at the quarter pole, 400 left to go, 27 the quarter, and Major Dan about to let slide, peeling out Raka Roller, then AFL followed in behind the leader Celestia Larden, and at the moment there's no My Alpha Rock, but there is Major Dan. He kicks away now at the 200 metres. He's raced a couple of lengths in front of Raka Roller, chasing home hard on the outside as Real Stride, but it's Major Dan at the 50, nicely clear from a minute back. My Alpha Rock steams home late, but it's going to be too good for them. Major Dan bolts in, goes home to beat Real Stride, Canberra third between Raka Roller, Jonah Jones and the fast finishing Mayo.
So the Group 3 last night, the Tony Turnbull free-for-all there, Fred, taken out by the $1.35 favourite, Major Dan defeating Real Stride and Raka Roller running third.
Yeah, it was a good effort by Major Dan, very good horse. The eye-catching run was that of My Alpha Rock. One of the Tritton runners was stone motherless on the turn. Now, Major Dan's come home in 26.7. I reckon My Alpha Rock's come home in about 26.1, 26.2. I haven't done the clocking yet, and not that I'm the best at it, but it was a sensational run and very impressive performance. And Shane Tritton, as part of Lauren and Shane Tritton training, prepare My Alpha Rock. And Shane, good morning to you.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good. It was a nice run, your horse. It came from a long, long way back and would have run a dynamic last 400.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it was a tough race for us to drive him any other way. You know, if we went forward like we did the start prior, he'd probably get caught outside of a pretty hot speed. So we decided to set him up, and we did that in the Vic Cup, and he was really good. And look, I think last night showed that he's maturing, and if he was anywhere but last, he probably goes very close to winning. So I just think it's a good sign going into next week.
Yeah, look, he's an adaptable type, as you said. You know, depending on the draw, if he does a bit of work early to get up outside Major Dan, he's probably going to be stuck there for the duration. So it's good to know going into an Inter Dominion series that you've got a horse that is pretty versatile.
Yeah, definitely. And look, he's a horse that just loves to lead and loves to run, and you know that's obviously his plan A. But you know, we have tested the water a little bit with him with his sitting up, and look, I probably wouldn't have had a horse in my stable that could have got any closer than what he did last night with the run that they had. So yeah, look, I'm very happy with him, and you know, he's a tough horse to drive. So Lauren did a good job to get him back there, and he obviously didn't want to, but he did storm home, which was good to see.
Ranked 11 in the Inter Dominion rankings. Your highest ranked runner is Franco Nelson. How's Franco?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, obviously he's had a bit of a checkered preparation. Everything hasn't gone 100% to plan, or you know, we would have been racing him a bit more often. But I am confident that he'll get there, and he'll you know, go as well as he can. And he's got the class. He's definitely probably out of all my horses the horse that's got the most amount of points on the board. And I think, you know, the signs are better every day that everything's going in the right direction. So I expect him to go well.
And he's a tough, you know, durable horse. So the campaign itself won't affect him. And I guess the longer the races get in trip, the better and the more prominent he'll be.
Definitely. And, you know, his issues aren't really a soreness issue in the sense that most horses have. It's more an arthritic issue. So the more sort of things he can do, the more racing he can do, the kind of the better he gets through it. It's just preparing him for that, which is the hardest thing. So I'm very confident he'll get through the series. And like you said, the more they get into it, the better they go, the more his class will rise. So, yeah, look, I'm very confident that he's probably my best chance going into it. But, you know, it's a very open series.
You paid the late entry fee for Maxi Man, who has come through the grades. This horse was a claimer and is finding itself going around in an ID.
Yeah, we were still looking. We sent out a bit of a text to a lot of our owners and said we're looking to you know, claim Maxi Man. Is anyone interested? And a few guys jumped in, and yeah, he's taken a while for me and Laura to sort him out. He took a few starts. He wasn't quite right hitched up, and we took him back to the trials, and Lauren drove him and sort of said this is what he needs. And from that point onwards, he's sort of, you know, I can't fault him. He's run past me probably two best horses at the moment, and you know, probably had no luck on those nights. And his work since then has been better than it was then. And yeah, we don't really know what to expect from an Inter Dominion point of view. Mm-hmm. But if he had to line up against any horse in that field this week, then I think he'd be well enough to match it with him. That's for sure.
I guess the query is the you know, the four runs in such a short space.
Yeah, definitely four runs. Even the distance, we haven't really raced him over the 2300 or the longer trip. So you know, we're still learning with him. But from what he's showing us, he's really in a purple patch at the moment. And you know, we'll just ride that wave with him as long as we can.
All right. Well, good luck with your Inter Dominion. It all kicks off on Saturday next, and we'll be watching with great interest. Now, a recent arrival at your stable, in fact, I think it was earlier this week, a horse from New Zealand called Lockerburn has been sent to you, and the main aim for Lockerburn is to contest the Miracle Mile.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a horse that we've had our eye on for a long time, and you know, it's been getting a bit tougher for him in New Zealand with their class system, and we kind of inquired into, you know, whether they'd be interested in sending him over, because I do think he'd suit us, and Kevin was very receptive to that, and we actually went over to the New Zealand Cup to watch him run to sort of build a relationship. And you know, he's now turned up at our stables. He jogged for the first time today, and Yeah, look, I'm excited. I think, you know, him, he's on the same sort of lines as Franco Nelson. He's probably one of the best horses we've ever had the pleasure to be given. So, yeah, we're very excited and we expect a lot of him.
10th in the New Zealand Cup behind the Fixer. Now, there's clearly been problems with the horse, and you know, the trainers have done a great job over there to keep him going. I noted there were two occasions, Shane, where he had more than a year off. I mean, how do you manage a horse like that? Does he, you know, obviously there's been problems. Are you aware of those issues and how to manage them going forward?
Yeah, look, we're very aware of the issues that he's had, and we're also, you know, pretty well experienced in that field. A lot of the horses that we've got off this sort of situation, like Franco Nelson, is something that we've had to manage. So we're very confident we can get him, you know, back to somewhere near his best. And I just think the style of racing and the handicapping system here is going to allow him to get back to where he needs to be.
And the facilities, obviously, the training facilities will help him no end.
Yeah, definitely. Look, we couldn't probably do it without the facilities we've got there, and certainly it gives us a chance to get these sort of horses that a lot of people kind of, you know, get to the point where they say, well, they've done, and they're, you know, like Maxi Man, for instance, and it lets us get them back to their best and show that, you know, if the quality's there, you've just got to manage it and get them back.
It's all about how you manage them, I guess. And speaking of managing, what's the latest with God's Spirit? Now, this is a very exciting horse that landed on our shores unbeaten here. Only had the one start when it came here and finished on top in a 2600-metre race in New Zealand. And then it came here and has been running low 150s and 151s at Menangle over the mile. God's Spirit, where is he?
Yeah, you'll be happy, Freddie. He's trialling on Tuesday.
So, oh, good.
so he's on the way back, and we're very happy with him. He looks better this time in. He's starting to look like a good horse instead of just going like one. So hopefully we've done the right thing by giving him a little let up. And
what, he's got a bit of presence about him now, Shane. He's grown. What's taking your eye?
He's filled out in the right places, and he's coached a lot better. And I think last time in everything was a bit much for him. He was sort of putting too much into it. So at the moment, he's kind of like he's realised that it's okay, and I think that's showing in his body. But look, we're very excited. We've got a few trialing on Tuesday that, you know, Muscle Factory, Pete Big Jim's Coastal Trial, you know, Platinum Revolution, Reed the Grunter, Bombo Kota Kinabalu. So there's quite a few coming back this week to the trials, and yeah, hopefully they're ready for the summer carnival.
They're big, obviously, they're being aimed up towards all the big races in January, February, and obviously culminating in that first Saturday in March.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we might post down to a derby in Victoria maybe with a couple, but yeah, mainly getting them ready for the Miracle Mile Carnival. That's definitely the aim for just about every horse in my stable.
And well, there you go. Wouldn't that be something else? Shane and Lauren Trutton with six or seven runners.
Yeah, well, look, you know, you've just got to aim for these races.
Yeah,
and things
understand.
Might go by the wayside, but, you know, we've got some nice horses, and we're trying. The last couple of years, everything's been about trying to aim them for get to the best races at their peak. And some trainers in the past, like us, you're trying to get them at their peak all the time, and it's just impossible to do that. So, hopefully it all works out.
All right, well, I look forward to seeing the team on Tuesday. Before I let you go, the two-year-old calendar was announced by Harness Racing New South Wales during the course of the week. How many babies have you got?
We've got seven there at the moment, and we're definitely on the lookout for one. We've got an owner there that definitely are looking to buy the next Muscle Factory or something along them lines. So, we probably will fill that spot at some point when we find something. But, yeah, there is about seven there. And
you're happy with them?
Yeah, they're all going really well. There's a couple there that definitely will be young two-year-olds, and they're paid up for Bathurst, so that's a pleasing sign. And the rest are all coming along nicely, and it might take a little bit more time, but they've definitely shown me that they've got the quality to go at least get to the races, and that's the start.
Good on you, Shane. Well, thanks for giving us some time this morning. Exciting times ahead. I mean, obviously, eye on the prize with the next few weeks in Melbourne, and then obviously the team going forward into the Sydney Summer Carnival. Good luck with it all. Good luck with Lockerburn, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Too easy. Thanks, Freddie.
Good on you, Shane. Shane Tritton there, representing the training partnership, Simon, of Shane and his wife, Lauren. And they've got some terrific horse flesh along the way, and they're going to be certainly to the fore. I think they're going to have some success in Melbourne, and obviously their aim is some of these big races here in Sydney.
Absolutely, and we've got a big month of December coming up. Freddie, looking forward to it.
Oh, look, it's exciting. It's always exciting into Dominion time, and, you know, we're only, what, seven days away. The pacing final, just quickly before I go, because I'm just about out of time, but Tiger Tara heads the market at 450. Cruise Bromac 550, 650 San Carlo, 650 Shadow Saxon, Let It Ride is at 7. The rest are at double figures. And can't leave the trotters out at the moment. Tornado Valley at 260 dominates over Speeding Spur 360. Kai Valley Blur at 650 and Maori Law at 650. Of the New South Wales contingent, Tough Monarch is on the fifth line at $11. Just looking for the runners from Rando Barn there on request, prices on request. So
they're going well at the moment, aren't they?
What's that?
The Rando Barn.
Oh, look, they've had terrific success. They really have. And I think last Saturday, and they didn't have a runner last night in the Trotters race, but last Saturday was the first time in the preceding 8 weeks that they didn't collect a first, second or third check in a Trotters race on the metropolitan scale of things at Menangle. So their season has been phenomenal. They're going to be well represented with Rompers Monarchy and Kofi Monarch, and quite exciting times for the Randos. They're good people and enjoying some success as well.
Righto, Fred, will enjoy the next three Sunday mornings off. I'm sure you'll be tuning in and listening to Greg Hayes and I.
100% I will be, no doubt about it, but it will be nice to have a little sleep in and not get up and sit at the computer.
Good on you, Freddie. Thanks for your help as always, and we'll catch you in a few weeks.
Good on you, Simon.
Fred Hastings there. It's 13 to 11 in just a moment. Ron Arnold will join me, and we'll take a look at some feature greyhound racing.
Race Day is brought to you by the Tab app. Proudly made by punters for punters. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio covers all the major greyhound racing around New South Wales and Australia.
Good morning, everyone. Plenty of feature racing coming up.
Going Greyhounds with host John Bunny Brash brings you all the latest news, interviews and tips galore. Catch it every Monday morning from 10:30 here on Sky Sports Radio.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world,
but Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Stay with Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
And we'll take a look at the world of greyhound racing now from Wentworth Park. Ron Arnold joins me. And Ron, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. Certainly great to be with you, and certainly great to follow on from Freddie Hastings. I remember his days calling Richmond Dogs and Wentworth Park as well. So.
Yeah. Well, he used to do Richmond on a Friday night. Wentworth was on a Monday night back in those days.
Yeah, a lot of that. Yeah. PA used to do the Saturdays and all that. So, yeah, anyway, we're all still moving along, so we've obviously found a few winners over the decades.
And we've had a big weekend of greyhound racing, Ron. Friday night was a big night in Sandown, with, of course, the Tab Melbourne Cup on, as well as the Bold Trees.
Yeah, certainly. The big Group 1 races are always special, but at that time of the year, spring carnival time in Victoria, obviously it is one of the highlights right across the nation, and it was greyhound racing's turn to go to the spotlight. Mother Nature wasn't all that kind, some of the poorest weather you'd ever want to see, but the program got through, full marks to the club for everything they tried to put on for the night, and it worked very well. A great crowd considering the weather conditions turned out, and obviously the big thing is betting turnover was sensational right across the 12-race program.
Well, let's take in a replay of the first of the Group 1s from Friday night. It was the Tab Melbourne Cup.
Racing. Winning the start west on Augie. Beginning quickly was Dinah Harper. Black Opium drives with My Redeemer. Onto the first turn, it's My Redeemer and Black Opium going together with West on Augie. Right behind them, She's Gifted. 4 lengths away, Notorious Mac. Then Dinah Harper poked the bear, Nagani. Last, they run off the back. My Redeemer in front, leading by two. Black Opium sticking on in second placing. Third, She's Gifted, then West on Augie. My Redeemer swung for home in front. Three clear of Black Opium, and My Redeemer won the cup. Beat Black Opium. She's Gifted. West on Augie ran in fourth.
So the result of the Melbourne Cup was My Redeemer for David Gill, leading the whole way from box one, defeating Black Opium and She's Gifted running third. And I guess, Ron, the disappointment was Poke the Bear.
Yeah, look, from box number six, it was always going to be a situation that just where you were positioned, and certainly even on wet track, Simon, it's an amazing thing. You can just sometimes dogs just don't always ping and run, and they know it's all different. And the inside draw obviously played right into my Redeemer's hands. He did everything right. He came out well with them. He pushed up. Black Opium, even though she's got huge pace, she doesn't go hard to the left of the fence, so she sat about three off, which gave my Redeemer plenty of room. And he is a strong dog. And, you know, there was probably three chances that the punters thought, and two of them raced away to fight it out. And, you know, my Redeemer was just too strong. It gives Dave Gill a huge year. He won an Easter egg early in the year with Uphill Jill, and he's become sort of the first trainer to win that double in the one calendar year with two separate greyhounds. And it's certainly fabulous. And, you know, a wonderful training family, and full marks to the owner, that the owner actually highlighted at the presentation how he come to get this dog, and it was quite amazing. They had a few issues, and they bred a litter. They decided to sell the entire litter, and as he said one morning, got a voice from heaven said to him, keep one eye over here, and he kept that dog, and that's why he called it My Redeemer, and the rest of its history, $650,000 the dog's now won. So I might be listening to some of those voices myself come next weekend.
Yeah, where the majority of these greyhounds sort of head to now following the Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, look, I suppose in January, in February, there's still big carnivals down there in Victoria, across obviously Australian Cup. And, you know, the Easter egg is on everyone's targets. Brisbane Cup's sort of there. It's obviously a lot of these major kennels now, Simon, they've got other dogs as well. You know, they're no longer just one or two dog kennels anymore. So they tend to go where they can take a majority of them. And, you know, even in a few weeks' time, the Christmas gift up here at Wentworth Park over the weeks of the 8th and 15th of December. So they'll certainly appear, and even still, like, some might even just have a couple of weeks off, because they're very big carnivals, you know, when you go through 3 weeks of racing to get to these big finals. So some of them might deserve a couple of weeks off to start with.
Right, so that was the Melbourne Cup. The other Group 1 on the program was the Bold Trice Final over the 715 metres as we take in the replay.
Racing. Winning the start was Soda Flash. Black Impala begins very fast and will lead Soda Flash early. Beckham got through to third, fourth the inside. Bacali ahead of Hot Tip, then Poco Dorado. Second last, Debbie Ripper. Last as they swing into the straight was Kazan. Around to go. Black Impala using the track. Soda Flash was able to print some margin down to three quarters and get up on the inside. Beckham three lengths away, followed by Bacali winding up. Two and a half to Hot Tip. Next Poco Dorado, then Debbie Ripper. Kazan last. They lead the back. Still Black Impala a length clear. In second, Soda Flash. Bacali now comes to the outside with his run ahead of Beckham around the turn. Black Impala late for home. Bacali charging down the outside. Bacali hit the lead. He won the Bold Trice. He beat Black Impala. Hot Tip the roughie. Flash late to grab third. Soda Flash four, then Ebby Ripper. They were followed by Kazan.
So Bacali starting the narrow $2.60 favourite there, just ahead of Poco Dorado, defeating Black Impala and Hot Tip in the Bold Trice Final. A thrilling finish there, Ron.
Yeah, certainly, Simon. And Bacali, it's quite amazing. Rob Britton's had a huge run over the last sort of 12 or 18 months with Stayers. And obviously, Rip and Sam and Tornado Tears. But I tell you what, this dog, Bacali, he's on the verge of becoming a superstar on the ranks of Stayers. He's just powerhouse at the finish. And, you know, in great hands, he'll be placed accordingly, and it won't be the last Group 1 race he'll win, I can assure you. He's got a big 2019 ahead of him. He's only a relatively young dog for the staying ranks, and, you know, if he can stay sound, he's going to be a border on the superstar for next year in the staying fields.
Poco Dorado outside the placings, though. What happened there?
Yeah, look, I got to be honest, I bumped Minnie Finn and John Finn at Wentworth Park last night, and the look on their face told the story. As Minnie said, simply, the trainers didn't like the weather and the dog liked it less. So it was just one of those nights, I think, you just put the pen through it and forget about it. And he'll come back to Wentworth Park, and after a couple of weeks off, she'll be back firing on all cylinders.
Righto, Ryan, anything else from across the weekend that you'd like to touch on? How was Wentworth Park last night?
No, it's not a Wentworth Park, I must admit. In the old days, as Clarence the Clocker used to say, one for the girls. There's a greyhound that's been going around over the last few weeks showing great form for Jason Magri, Zipping Mitzi, and that would be one I'd put in the Black Book. It's a top grader and just going huge at the present moment. It did go down to Sandown for the bigger races and didn't have a lot of luck there, probably having a first look at the track. But, you know, Zipping Mitzi at the present moment, she's a girl, again, by Barcia Bales, who's just proved to be a huge sire. She's now won after last night, won 11 out of 19. And if you really wanted one of our Sydney dogs to take on the big smokes over the next few months, I reckon Zipping Mitzi's going to be right up there amongst them.
Okay, Zipping Mitzi, one to follow there. We're just awaiting to get the CEO from Richmond on the line, Chris Carl. They've had their puppy auction on this morning. Have you kept abreast of how this has gone, Ron?
Yeah, look, Simon, it's actually a very sort of exciting one this year. We all know what happened with greyhound racing here in New South Wales a couple of years ago. And, you know, breeding was put on hold with many people. People weren't sure how the sport was going to go forward. But you've got to feel now that, you know, again, on a night like Friday night, you're seeing people starting just to step back and say, well, you know, in all due respect, there's serious money to be won here, if you're lucky. And that's what anything in the world of racing's about, whether you go to a yearling sale. You know, there was obviously the most talked about racehorse in the world is Winx, 230,000. No one knew what that horse was going to do when they bought that at that yearling sale. And the rest of it is history. And then every dog, every horse, every trotter that we buy, we all dream to win the big one. Obviously, 99% it doesn't work out for, but that other 1%, they live an absolute dream. And it's a great, you know, I looked at the family that won with My Redeemer the other night. It's life-changing for them when they share that prize money with the trainer. You know, for pardon the expression, average Mr. and Mrs. Joe, average in the street, it's a big life-changing moment for them. And, you know, particularly this time of the year. So today out at Richmond, I mean, we've had some tremendous success at Richmond with the greyhounds. You know, 30 talks comes to mind very quickly that have gone through this series and end up being Group 1 superstars themselves. So, you know, again, I encourage anyone to give plenty of belief into the world of greyhounds. If you want to have an interest with a syndicate, a few family friends or workmates, you know, you've only got to throw a few bob in between you and you can buy a greyhound, you know, very reasonably. And at the end of the day, it all becomes that lottery. That's what it's all about if you want to dream the Group 1. But you can certainly get round to the provincials and to the country tracks. They're great weekends to take the kids out. The kids love the dogs. And again, I know I'm a bit one-eyed, but when it comes to having a pet, a greyhound is without a doubt the most magnificent animal you can be associated with as a family pet.
I don't think we're going to be able to get Chris Carl online. He must be busy at the moment, but all the details are up on the Richmond Puppy Auction website. It's got everything there that you need to know. And even last year's winner, Mr. Twist, has proven to be a pretty handy greyhound, hasn't he?
Certainly, you know, Jason Mackay, he'd be out there with his syndicate owners today for sure. And I do encourage anyone. It's one of those events that, you know, started at 9 o'clock this morning. It'll be probably rolling through to mid-afternoon. If you've got a couple of hours spare and you're within, you know, half an hour or an hour of Richmond, do yourself a favour. We've got plenty on for the kids as well. And the barbecue sausage sizzle will be starting to warm up now. So just go along and have a look. And it is your opportunity. And particularly as the back end of the day, some people are sort of keen to sell litters and they get to the last few, the stand, and they go, oh, I just want to get rid of this one too. And sometimes you can buy them damn cheap and, you know, you never know what happens. And just getting to the racetrack's exciting. And if you can particularly win that first race, the maiden, you know, it's a very, very thrilling affair when you say, well, yeah, I bought you 12 months ago and look what you've done. So it's where it all starts. It doesn't matter. There's plenty out there and somewhere I can guarantee you one of the pups there this morning in roughly 18 months' time will be standing on a dais in a big feature race. You can guarantee it will happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Ron. Well, thanks very much for your help this morning. And we'll let Chris Carl run the puppy auction out there and get it all finished. So he's probably pretty busy at the moment.
Yeah, and I'll be pretty well packed out there at the present moment. And I know from when he parked last night, there were a lot of people heading out there wearing. They were getting their little groups together and mates to go out and make a day of it. So that would be pretty well flat out. But certainly, if you're within the area, Richmond's the place to duck across for lunchtime and this afternoon.
Right.
Thanks very much, Simon.
Righto, Ron. Enjoy your Sunday.
Cheers, mate. Good luck to you.
Ron Arnold there, and we'll catch him again next week for Chasing Rewind. Now, it's coming up to a minute to 11. Let's take in a replay now of the first from Tarapa in New Zealand.
And Naval Fleet, and with them also is Wrathfully. So there's about five of them out in front here. Surely Sacred came out next, followed round them by Paul Super Ardiki. Donna Imelda is back in the field. With it also over on the inside next was It's Doable, and last is Flash Dance. 700 metres to go, and taking over Wrathfully leads by one length from Naval Fleet. One and a half away, Scorches third, followed by Encore. Encore in a nice spot, fourth, one out. Two and a half away next, Solar Door on the the inside of Autumn Flash and out a bit deeper on the track is Surely Sacred. Further back, Donna Imelda. With it, Paul Super Hardecky from It's Doable and Flash Dances last into the straight in the first. 3:50 to go and taking over Naval Fleet on the outside of Rathfilly. Encore, encore being called upon.